Well, we come to complete Proverbs chapter 7, and by my count, this is the seventh study on what I've sort of called the doctrine, a doctrine of lust. And we started out under the broader categories of pleasures and addictions, and we've been looking at mostly negatively what the Proverbs have to say about these various issues. And we noted that on the doctrine of lust, there are 72 verses in the Proverbs. There's almost a couple chapters, 5, 6, 7, and then a couple other places. And if God gave us this much information, I believe it demands our diligence to study it out. So this will be the last study, but I trust it wouldn't be our last study. I believe that, as we've said, it's one of the sins common to man. It's ruined many marriages, many lives, parents and children, and so we have spent this time, but may it not be the last study. May we go on, and may we remind ourselves, may you, as you do your devotions, as you read the Proverbs, as you read other passages in the Scripture, may we all be diligent to be good students, especially young men. Spend time and memorize and go to those verses when you're in trouble, when you're tempted to lust. Go to some of these passages to arm yourself for the battle. Hebrews 13:4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Well, many of us had the opportunity yesterday to attend the wedding of Amy Allen and J.R., and we had the opportunity to exalt marriage, to rejoice in the marriage of these young people, and I trust many of us have sort of rededicated ourselves to our spouses, and it's part of that. In the same verse there in Hebrews, we're reminded that marriage must be held high and fornication must be denied and not done to honor God. So that's our desire here. And if you're single, for those who are single, I wanted to encourage you to be content with your singleness. You're not married yet, and you need to wait upon the Lord. You need to have contentment with your singleness. And that means waiting for a spouse to enjoy the pleasures that God gave only in the context of marriage. Trust God for His provision. And that's what we married folks need to do as well. We have to delight in our spouse, as we read, as we studied in chapter 5. Well, let's read Proverbs 7 again. Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. That they may keep you from an adulteress, literally a strange woman, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing through the streets near her corner, and he takes the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. So she seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. Therefore I have come out to meet you, to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses, for the man is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Now, therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. As we've noted before, God not only instructs us with words, with plain verbiage, but he gives these pictures. What a vivid picture. That has a lesson, as we mentioned, even for parents, as we teach our children to provide these vivid illustrations on how to avoid sin. Well, getting back to verse 19, where we left off last time, verses 19 and 20, she says, "Don't worry. My husband will not be home for a long time. You're safe. No one's going to catch us. He's gone." This man, he had a bag of money with him. He was probably a rich man, as we noted. She had all these beautiful linens. She and he were wealthy. Wealthiness. And we can think back to our study on money from Proverbs 23. Certain sins go together. Maybe she was swallowed up with the love of money, and then her lust just proceeded. Well, you can go back to your notes or listen to that again. Bruce Waltke said, "She had no intention of giving up her comfortable lifestyle for her one-night stand. This parasite, her aim in life is to indulge her lusts." She's a parasite. She's rich. She has all this money. Her husband is paying the bills. She's not going to divorce him. She's going to be married and keep doing her one-night stand. She's a parasite. She's like a leech grabbing hold of this man and other men. Beware of her type. Now, we note that this is not only fornication, as if two singles were fornicating. This is adultery. This is adultery. This is not just, to use the euphemism, a one-night stand. This is adultery. And I think the Proverbs show us that we cannot soften the Word of God. We cannot soften the law of God into these little euphemisms. Oh, they just had a one-night stand. No, this is adultery. And we need to call out these sins. Well, verse 21, with her many persuasions, her immense persuasiveness. When women have many persuasions, we must have many refusals. Remember Joseph, Potiphar's wife? What did it say? That she just asked him one time to lay with me? It said, day after day, she kept coming and saying, "Lay with me, Joseph, come be with me." And that's how temptation is. It's not just a one time, it's not just one persuasion. She has many persuasions. And as we've noted in our culture, whether it's the coffee stand or the internet, there are many temptations, just like this harlot who personifies, who is, remember, she's ubiquitous. She's everywhere. She's on every corner. She lurks here, she lurks there, and she has many persuasions. So we must have many refusals, like Joseph. Her seductive barrage calls us to war. And like the good soldier, we must take evasive maneuvers to escape. This woman is bent on catching him. She's bent. And it's this picture of warfare that came to my mind. He's in a battle. He's in a battle even for his life, as we'll see. One victory is not enough. He could say, "Oh, I said no yesterday." She's going to come back tomorrow. You cannot live on yesterday's victory. There is every day these many persuasions and many temptations. It's like if you went to Afghanistan, our soldiers who are there fighting, and they killed one Taliban, and they said, "We won! We killed the enemy." They only killed one of the enemy. It's the same way with these types of temptations. There is a multitude of Taliban fighters, if you will, and they keep coming. You kill one, you kill two, you kill ten, they keep coming. It's the same way with the temptation to lust, with the harlot. She doesn't stop at one advance. She keeps coming. So if by God's grace we win one temptation, we win one battle, and we deny and we say no, don't put your weapon down. Don't sling your rifle on your shoulder and say, I'm good. No, she has many persuasions. You can never, the soldier on guard can never put his gun on his shoulder. He has to be ready to fight. And I think this phrase, many persuasions, would lead us to realize it's not just one temptation that comes, it's many, again and again. We cannot let our guard down at any time. She entices him. She tempts. She lures. This woman is powerful. Temptation is powerful. And that's why God gives us 72 verses on this topic. He is gracious. He graciously grants us His law to instruct us how to avoid this sin. She is powerful. With smooth lips, she seduces him. We've looked at this already, this idea of like honey on the lips. She's so sweet. She sounds so good. Her words are so smooth. It's just laying the trap. She's very good at what she does, so do not underestimate the enemy. The enemy is powerful. Charles Bridges said, she winds herself in 1,000 movable ways to meet the varying humors or temperaments and circumstances. She works upon every weakness and seizes every unguarded moment. You can never let down your guard. We must keep our guard up continually, because she has 1,000 movable ways. If you're like this type of man, she knows how to lure you. If you're like this type of man or boy, she knows how to seduce you. Our culture, I mean, it's the euphemism, sex sells. It's all around us. The billboards, it works. It is seductive. And we're fools if we think otherwise. Beware, boys and men. Let us beware of sweet talkers. Sweet talkers. Flatterers. Complimenting you in ways, men, we've seen it maybe in the workplace. Oh, you look so nice today. You must be such a great husband for what you do for your wife and kids. Beware of smooth-talking women. We've seen them. Smooth talkers. We need to beware. We need to put up our guard and keep the shield, keep the sword in our hand ready for battle. Because if we're hit from the side, we may just crumble down into her hands, is what's going to happen to this guy. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Flattery will ruin you. It will ruin me if this harlot is flattering us. It will send us to ruin. And what happens in verse 22 and 23? Suddenly. Now, he didn't have a sudden fall. It was gradual. We saw what he did. He went out to her corner and he went down her way and he went toward her house and he saw her. He did all these steps. The suddenness is like a trap that is suddenly sprung. Even though the animal, if you're a trapper, if you have a mouse trap or a rat trap, imagine that trap is there and there's a piece of cheese for the mouse, and the mice are just, they don't just run up and jump on the trap. They come alongside and they nibble and they get a little bit over here and they go up and forth. That's what he was doing. He was going around her trap. And what happens when the mouse gets its weight on the trap? That mouse gets killed. That's what happens to him. Suddenly, he follows her. Suddenly. He thought he could go around her trap. Oh, she's so pretty, and she's speaking to me so kind, and wow, she gave me a great compliment. Suddenly, he's done for. Remember the Puritan Thomas Brooks said, one of the first devices of Satan, he puts out the bait and hides the hook. If you go fishing, you don't put your worm up on the line. You put him where? Over the hook. You put that fat, juicy worm over the hook so the fish doesn't see it. It's not just going to bite a plain hook, and that's what she does. She makes it all beautiful. She sets the trap. He is the prey, and she is the trapper. He's caught by this hypnotic vixen. That's what she is. He's bound to her by the chains of lust. Solomon also refers to this in Ecclesiastes 7:26. And I discovered more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. One who is pleasing to God will escape her, but the sinner will be captured by her. It's this serious. This woman, this temptation to lust and to commit adultery and fornication is like that. It's binding. It's a trap set. And if we go through life oblivious to the traps, what's going to happen? We're going to fall into it. And we're going to be trapped, just like an animal that's caught. And once in her trap, there's no way out. It's the point of no return. Well, God provides three similes in these verses. Did you catch them? As a beast, as in bonds, as a bird. Again, more pictures. More pictures to illustrate the point. Why would he give such simple pictures? He wants his boys to get it. The first, as a beast, or as an ox goes to the slaughter, to be killed. Are oxes very intelligent? Have you seen them on a computer or driving cars? No, they are what? Dumb. It's a beast. And this is what he's like. He's beast-like. He's dumb. He's stupid. Oblivious to the danger. They're just bringing that ox along, and all of a sudden they're going to shoot him in the head. They're going to pound a sledgehammer on his brain. That's what it's like. That's what this man's like, as an ox going to the slaughter, getting his jugular split. He's just getting ready to fall into a trap, and he lurches forward, and he's dead. As a beast. Secondly, as in bonds, as one in fetters or chains, handcuffs, to the discipline of a fool. Until what? An arrow pierces through his liver. He's going to be punished. He's bound. He can't control his arms. He can't protect himself. He's given up his protection. He's given in. He's given himself. And now an arrow is coming into his liver. Third, as a bird. As a bird hastens or just flies quickly into a trap. The bird didn't even know the trap was there and it flew in. Maybe it was some bait, I don't know. But this bird just zipped in and it was trapped and killed. And what is the conclusion here? He says, verse 23c, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Lust may be lethal. Lust is lethal. It will lead even to death, punishment. If you write in your Bible, maybe you'll do like me, and I don't know why, I don't know the Hebrew, I know the punctuation is not part of the Hebrew text, but how could they end this with a period? This is an exclamation point. Remember we said the Bible is full of exclamation points. He does not know that it will cost him his life. That's a big, if you write in there, put an exclamation point. Make that period into an exclamation point to call out to our attention. It's going to cost you something if you go with the harlot. If you indulge in lust, in pornography, in the bikini barista, in the internet ads, or the woman saying, come lay with me. The consequences are profound. Profound. What a tragedy. He is blind. He is like that dumb beast. He has no clue. He's going to be put to death. He doesn't get the magnitude of the consequences. If we get anything from this study, I hope that we would realize the magnitude of the consequences. Lust is lethal. Verse 24. Now therefore, sons. He went from the singular back in verse 1, my son, to verse 24, now therefore my sons. He's instructing the young men. Whether you're young in age, or young in spiritual maturity, or young in experience, he's instructing all of us. I hope we feel that way, men and women. But in particular, sons. Now that I've told you this horrific story, listen. Listen. And pay attention, for death is at the door. Young people, I plead with you, young boys and men, to listen to the warnings of God. Don't think that'll never happen to me. Listen to the warnings of God. Christians, He gave us these warnings, and may they not fall on deaf ears. May we take His warning seriously. Timothy, flee fornication. Do we not need to hear the same? Lest we end up like this fool who's like a beast, he's in chains, and he's the bird going into the trap. If we don't listen to the warnings, that's where we will end up. No one is above falling into this sin. Parents, we must reinforce our instruction. We must reinforce it. It's not enough, quite often, to just say the rules. Don't do this. We must reinforce them with illustrations, and we'll have to say, did you get it? Do you understand? Do you have any questions? These types of instructions cannot just be, here's the rule. Don't commit adultery. We need to open up. We need to explain the law of God to our children. The Proverbs teach us that continually. Did you get it, son? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? We need to do that. I love the Proverbs. I hope this study has not... Hope you're not ready to get done. I love them. I hope you love them. They call us to listen for our own good. This is for our protection. God gave us these, as Kidner called it, godliness in work clothes. What does it mean in the workplace or in your neighborhood or in the church to avoid the harlot? There are chapters about it for us. What a blessing that God in His grace has given us this instruction. Verse 25. Do not let your heart turn aside. Do not stray into her paths. Avoid her. How many ways can he say it? Avoid this type of woman, this girl. If you see her come into the church and she's flirting with the young men, avoid her. If you go to a camp, if you go to a wedding ceremony, if she's coming around you flirting, go the other direction. Go be with your siblings. Go to your parents. Avoid this woman. Young ladies, avoid men like this. They're setting traps before your feet. It's all around us. How many divorces end in marriage because of fornication? Even in churches. By God's kindness, He's preserved us immensely. You want to get married and stay married in purity. Remember, this is the theme that we could call these studies purposeful purity. Say it with me. Purposeful purity. Isn't that an inspiration? Isn't that what we desire? How are we going to get there without a plan? Purposeful purity doesn't just happen willy-nilly. Children, even little young people, have in your mind purposeful purity. So when you say, I do, it is in purity. That will bless you. That will protect you. You'll be in blessing, not in a trap, ready to die, paying alimony, going to court for your children. God's word warns us. This is a blessing. This is a gift. This is how God graciously grants us His law. It's gracious. Purposeful purity. Matthew Henry, in commenting on this section, ends his comment in this way. He says, therefore stand in awe and sin not. You read this section, and what can you do? I like it. At the end of these verses, you stand in awe and sin not. That's a good purpose to this section that God has given us. Children, if you have questions about this study, about the previous studies, about lust, temptation, fornication, talk to your parents. Go to them and say, Mom and Dad, help me to understand this. This boy did this. This girl did this. Your parents want to hear from you. At any time, go to them. And anyone here, go to a brother or sister, confide, pour your heart. We're all in this battle together. We're here soldiers and we want to help each other. Men, go to another man. Woman, go to another woman and bear your heart. We're here to help. We're here in the battle to stand guard with our fellow soldiers. And that's what it takes. So I encourage you all, get help if you need it. Talk to John or I. Talk to some godly person that can help you. Don't let the devil cause shame to hinder you. Get help. We are all here to encourage one another. For her ways and her paths are the way to Sheol, the way to death, the way to hell itself in the New Testament language. Remember Derek Kidner said, chastity may be romanticized, but the hard facts are given here. Unchastity, fornication, the world makes it look so beautiful in love stories and movies and songs, the one-night stand. Don't let it be romanticized. I hope these studies would destroy the romanticized view of fornication. Teenagers, music you're listening to, they do it. They romanticize. Remember, from those of us who grew up in the 80s, Secret Lovers, young people, I'm sure you know songs where they romanticize love and fornication. Oh, it was so sweet. We just couldn't stop ourselves. These scriptures call us to say, no, that is wicked, and God help me not to do it. Another called this a picture of terror. This is going to death, to Sheol. Many are her victims. They are numerous. You're not her first, and you won't be her last. Remember, she said, oh, I came to find you. You are so special. She's going to go on to the next guy. You're nothing. That's what fornicators do. The victims, they are mortally slain. This is mortal combat. They are cast down, as we said, to hell itself. This woman appeared to be so vivacious, full of life, and she has beautiful clothes, and she has perfume. She's not dirty and nasty. She's sweet. Her word, she may be educated. She's successful. But what appeared to be so vivacious now appears to be so violent. She's deadly. She's going to kill you. 27, her house which was so beautiful, what is it now? It's a slaughterhouse. One said, her bedroom is no ballroom. It's deadly. It's a house of horrors, a house of death. That's what the sin of fornication is. It looks so beautiful out front. Get in there and it's deadly. It's like the mythological sirens that lured the sailors by their seductive singing. What happened? Their ship crashed on the rocks. But they sounded so sweet and they just couldn't stop themselves. And the next thing, crashed right into the rocks. That's what this woman is like. These types of women. They sink into the very chambers of death, descending into the chambers of death, an earthly dungeon. For her house, remember, sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, and they do not reach the paths of life. I recommend again the book called The Banquet of the Grave. The Banquet of the Grave by Edward Welch. He goes through many different addictions, lusts, temptations beyond our study. If you know someone that's struggling with those things, or if you want to be guarded yourself, I recommend it. We have it. Someone has it checked out. But Banquet of the Grave by Edward Welch. Well, I know this study has not been one of those heartwarming studies where you say, oh, thanks for the encouragement, Brett. But I trust that it's been a warning. If you're going down a steep hill like when we were coming back from Osoyoos, BC, and these mountains are steep and you're driving down and they're winding around, what if they didn't have one of those signs that show you a winding road's coming and you're going 60 miles an hour? What's going to happen? You're going to go off the road and die. Well, that's like us. We're going down the path of life and God puts these warning signs up. Children, adults, we've considered 7 studies. May God guard us, warn us, that we wouldn't fall into these sins by His grace. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes, brother.
I was just thinking, in my version 26b, the doll was slain by her strong man. And I was back earlier in chapter 5 about her being simple, devoid of understanding, man. And I was just thinking it covered the whole spectrum. You know, we've had presidents and world known pastors fall from this.
Yes.
Simple ditch diggers. You know,
yes.
It's everything.
Yes.
The whole spectrum she
Yes. That's right. Amen. No one is exempt. Yes, that's a great example. Presidents down to the garbage collector and everyone in between. Christians, non-Christians, pastors, deacons, church members. Yes, indeed. Those are all warnings. When we hear of someone who falls, we must pray for them. But every person that falls that we know is one of those warning signs. Beware. It's pleading with us. God is saying, beware. Yes, indeed. Anything else? Okay, let's conclude with prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you not only give us commands, but you give us pictures. Father, may we see them, may we hear them, may we fully listen ourselves, that you would deliver us from the adulteress, from fornication. May we not presume, may we never let down our guard for even for a moment. Father, for your glory, sanctify us. Sanctify us by the Proverbs. Lord, protect our children. May they hear these words. May you work it down through their ears into their heart. Lord, preserve our church from these great falls, even as David, a great man, a man after your own heart, fell into this very sin. Deliver us, protect us by your grace, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.